Welcome to Making America Strong Again, the only program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Join fellow patriots as we rediscover our past, reignite our future, and celebrate America now.
Welcome to Making America Strong Again. This is Steve Olds, live from our studios in Vero Beach, Florida, which is also the home of our company, Patriot Mission. And it is exciting to be with you today and to continue our discussion about liberty and specifically our liberty principles. Over the last several weeks, we've had discussions with different people, including Austin Hunt last week, where we talked about our second liberty principle, about the ingenuity of Americans, and how we're a generous people. We've also talked about, in the previous episode, about the leadership of entrepreneurs and their employees and their families and how important they are to America. Today we're going to talk about something that, in many cases, causes people some angst. You may have noticed around the country in this day and age, there are a lot of folks that aren't really happy with where we are as a nation. Some are, but it's very few. I saw a poll yesterday, as a matter of fact, that said 26% of Americans think we're on the right track. 26%. It's not a big number. It's horrendous. And there is a number of folks that think we're on the wrong track. The question is, what do we do about it? And so part of what we're going to do today is look back at our nation's founding. And we're going to look at some key elements of that in the context of this third liberty principle. But let's start with it. And then we'll begin to drill down into some of the core elements behind it and some things that you can think about as we move toward Memorial Day. We believe it is important to elect leaders who share a common belief in our Judeo-Christian heritage and the magnificence of the U.S. Constitution. Now think about that for a minute. First of all, we live in a society that is governed by a voluntary government of people who ask to be hired to represent us. That's what a representative republic is. We're not a democracy, as many people mistakenly believe we are. We're a representative republic. We hire people. They're called public servants to represent us locally, in our communities, in our states, and across the country. So this belief and this principle is tied to the people who we ask to represent us. And especially as we begin to move into the 2016 election cycle, we're going to hear all sorts of conversation about what people believe, what they say they believe, what other people say they really don't mean, they do mean, and it's enough to give you a headache 16, 18 months out. But what we have to do as citizens is be in the game and begin to have the discernment to know when people are telling the truth and when people are playing games. And there are a lot of political games being played, but it goes deeper than that. Most people don't realize, as an example, that at the time of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, there was a third of America who was absolutely for separation from the crown. There was another third that was absolutely against the idea of separating from Britain. They believed we should stay as colonies. And then there's another third that didn't really care one way or the other. They were apathetic. So look around in today's nation and tell me what you see. How many people believe that America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and that the magnificence of the U.S. Constitution is clear for all to see? It's probably significantly less than a third of the public. There are a lot of folks that really couldn't be bothered. And all you have to do is watch some of the man on the street interviews and engage in conversation with people who really have no idea what's going on around them. And then there's another group that is interested in taking America in a different direction, who actively pursue the dismantling of the U.S. Constitution. Now, what's important to also recognize is that every citizen has a role in what's going to happen in the nation. And there are a lot of people that just raise their hands up and say, what does my vote matter? Well, your vote does matter. And more importantly, what matters is your influence and your leadership. And the good news is it doesn't take much to be engaged in this process. And I'm not talking about engaging in the politics directly necessarily. Ultimately, that's how our government works. We have to vote. But before we can do that, we have to have some knowledge and some understanding. And it's also important that we have to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. We have to know when people are telling us the truth and spinning a yarn. We have to understand what it is that people mean when they say certain things about our country. As an example, when somebody says that they're going to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, which is part of the oath that folks that serve in the armed forces and people that serve in government take, especially the federal government, what are they swearing an oath to? If you go back to the idea that we're going to elect people who share a common belief in our Judeo-Christian heritage, that's another place where some people come off the rails. Well, what about freedom of religion? Are you saying that you have to be a Jew or a Christian to participate? No, of course not. What we're talking about is the belief in our Judeo-Christian heritage. What is that Judeo-Christian heritage? Well, that Judeo-Christian heritage takes us all the way back to the founding of the country. It is part and parcel of the makeup of the individuals who founded America. Our founders and the framers of the Constitution were people that had very strong core beliefs that could be directly traced to their Judeo-Christian perspectives, which gave America a Judeo-Christian heritage. Now, the important distinction to make is you don't have to be any religion to be an American. You don't have to believe one way or the other. But what is an inarguable fact is that America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Well, how do we know that? Some people want to argue it right off the bat. Well, let me read for you the introduction to the Declaration of Independence, which was written July 4th, 1776. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right. It is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. Wow. So think about that. The Declaration goes on to list a couple of pages of specific grievances that, in fact, validated in the minds of the founders the necessity to separate from Great Britain. And that began a change in the world that led to the most powerful, the most generous, the most brilliant formation of a new country called the United States of America. Ask yourself how many people really understand what are behind those words that I just read to you. I'll admit, I thought I understood it until I got around people that really know it. And then you begin to read in more detail. You go back to a lot of the critical documents to our country's founding, like the Federalist Papers. When you begin to drill down into the document that was produced 11 years later, the United States Constitution, you learn what people were thinking. You begin to understand what was behind them. And you can start to understand and see that these Judeo-Christian principles were absolutely essential to the design of the nation. And as we look to the future, the question is, so what are we going to do about all that? What do we believe? Well, this is not just surface information. You've got to know personally. You've got to know what you believe and why you believe it. Because if we're going to elect people in whatever election it happens to be, it is each individual voter that has to make a decision, which means each individual voter has to be engaged. That individual has to know what they believe and why they believe it. Or they can choose to be a sheep and wander in the booth and do what they're told. And a lot of people choose that option. As for me and my household, we choose not. We choose to study and learn and get around people who can teach us. And when we come back from the break, we're going to connect this with the magnificence of the U.S. Constitution and talk about how that translates to where we are in America today and what's coming up with Memorial Day. So stick around. We'll be back real soon.
Making America Strong Again is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about national restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.
Hi, this is Kelly Fisher, a supporter of the Making America Strong Again mission and your local real estate professional here on the Treasure Coast. It has been my honor to serve our wonderful community since 2003, and with over 1,500 home sales over the past 21 years, it's my hope that you will consider the Kelly Fisher team at Treasure Coast Sotheby's International Realty for all your real estate needs. Whether you are buying, selling, investing, or just need some friendly advice, our mission is to serve you with integrity and to negotiate your best deal. We offer concierge real estate services to beautiful homes in every price range. Please visit us at kellysoldmyhome.com, and may we also invite you to view over 100 raving fan client testimonials on Zillow.com and Realtor.com. Please call me at 772-321-6905.
At Surf Pro of Vero Beach, no job is too big and no question is too small. So when fire, water, or mold damage strikes your home or business, call on Surf Pro of Vero Beach at 772-770-0501. That's where you'll find a team of specialists that's faster to any size disaster. So when the things that matter most are on the line, make sure Surf Pro of Vero Beach is too by calling 772-770-0501. That's Surf Pro of Vero Beach, helping make fire, water, and mold damage like it never, ever happened. Franchises are independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to Making America Strong Again, the program dedicated to inspire you and to inspire a nation with stories of American exceptionalism and national restoration. Once again, here's your host, Steve Olds.
Well, thanks for being with us today. We'd also like to welcome our listeners on the iHeart Radio Network, as well as our Patriot Podcast, which can be downloaded each week at patriotpodcast.com. So thanks very much for listening and sharing your thoughts with us. Again, we're talking about our third liberty principle. And just as a reminder, I'm going to share it with you again. We believe it is important to elect leaders who share a common belief in our Judeo-Christian heritage and the magnificence of the U.S. Constitution. Now, obviously, in a 30-minute radio show, we're a little limited in digging into all the elements of the founding of the nation, the framing of the Constitution, and what all of that means to our political future over the course of the next couple of millennia. So we're going to tidy this conversation up with a couple of ideas that are obviously meant to inspire you to think about them more deeply. They're designed to inspire you to consider what you believe about America, what your family believes, what your kids or grandkids are thinking. Ask them questions. Find out what's on their minds. Find out what's being taught. Because one of the challenges that we have in this day and age, depending on where you live in the country, people have different agendas and different perspectives. Ask your children what they're learning. When we learned about the Constitution and the Declaration, it was in a ninth grade civics class and an occasional American history course, either in high school or perhaps college. But looking back over the past decades, I realized just how much I never learned. And the importance, especially in this day and age, to be able to make informed opinions, you have to go to the source documents. A couple of weeks ago, Greg Land and I were in Washington, D.C. for a conference. And we decided to take a walk, get out of the hotel for a while, and just walk through downtown Washington. And one of the buildings that we walked by was the Archives of the United States. And on this trip, we didn't have time to go in and take a tour. But I'd been there a number of times, including the field trips as a young man, to go see those documents, those amazing documents that are sealed, that go into a vault every night, the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and so many other crucial documents. I'm going to suggest, if you've never been to Washington before, put it on your bucket list, or perhaps put it on the to-do list for the summer. Take a drive up there. Take your family. Go meet somebody. Wander around. And go see what it was that started a change in world history. I mentioned earlier that the U.S. Constitution came about 11 years after the Declaration of Independence. You know, we started with something called the Articles of Confederation, but it became very clear that it wasn't strong enough. It wasn't going to function properly, and the colonies were having all sorts of challenges. So there was a constitutional convention called in 1787. It was called in Philadelphia. It was chaired by George Washington, who really was done with what he thought was going to be his service. Not quite yet. And if you study what happened at the Constitutional Convention, it will become very clear how much the framers of the Constitution believed in the Judeo-Christian ethic that I shared with you earlier. And in fact, there was a moment during the convention, actually several moments, when it wasn't going well. There was very little agreement. There was clear strife, and the odds of getting it approved in the way that it needed to be approved so that it would be the law of the land was looking very bleak. And there was a time when Benjamin Franklin, who at this time in his life was very old and feeble, he called for prayer on the spot so that the Constitution would be completed. And over some very, very amazing events, the U.S. Constitution became a reality and was ratified. Have you ever read the Constitution? You know, if you think about it, how long do you think it is? Have you seen it? Have you printed it out? If you think about a lot of printed government documents, you might say, wow, I don't have time to read that. Well, on printed pages, it's all of a whopping 9 pages, and that includes a list of everybody that signed it. Here's the preamble. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And when you go through it, you can actually read it and understand most of what they're talking about. There's a series of articles that each have sections, and you could spend an hour and read it and go, oh, well, that makes sense. And then you read the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, and see how all that fit together. And you begin to understand just how amazing and magnificent this document is, because what they were able to think through several hundred years ago and create a nation that could impact the world in the way that we have was absolutely remarkable. But if you don't know the history, and if you haven't studied it, then how do you stand up for what you believe in? How do you know what you believe? Let me ask you another question. If somebody asked you today to raise your right hand and to swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, would you do it? How seriously do you take an oath? How many people do you know that have raised their right hand and made a promise to you and to me to defend the Constitution, not just in principle, but with their very lives? There are people in the armed forces in the United States that enter service every day who make that solemn vow. They agree to put their lives on the line for you and for me. And in many cases, when they're called into service all over the world, there are times when Americans have made the ultimate sacrifice. They've stepped up, they've served, and they've died in service to the United States of America. What does that take? What does it take to do that? Now, obviously, for those of us that have served, we're not sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to end up dying for my country. That's not it at all. And if you wonder about certain perspectives, go look up what George Patton said about dying for our country. That's not the idea. But the fact is, especially over recent years, and especially with the tragedy that's happening in Iraq right now, there are a lot of people that are looking at the men and women who have died protecting the United States of America and all that we stand for, and they're not the political people that have decided which fights to get in and which not to. That's why it's important we elect leaders that understand what America is all about. But they serve, they stand up, they salute, and they go fight so that we can live in the most prosperous country on the face of the earth. Many people misunderstand what Memorial Day is all about. It's not to celebrate the living veterans, although it's a privilege to be one. It is to celebrate those who have given their lives in service to the United States of America. If you've never been to Arlington Cemetery, put it on your list. It's an amazing place with heroes, as are the veteran cemeteries all across the country. Take some time. Understand Memorial Day.
Making America Strong Again is brought to you by Patriot Mission. To learn more about national restoration, get free resources at www.makingamericastrongagain.com.